Hi, this is Deirdre Fay from Safely Embodied, and I'm here today talking with Mary Holscher and Paul Finley, who have been learning about married life from the inside out for over 30 years. They're both therapists in the Seattle, Washington area, and they do a ton of other things. But I wanted them to come on because a number of people who have been listening to the podcast let me know how relevant the whole topic of relationships are and how complicated it is and how much they struggle with relationships, in how to get in them, how to be in them, how to get out of them. So I wanted to find you some more perspectives that are really grounded and centered, and Mary and Paul came immediately to mind. So let me tell you a little bit about them. Mary is a psychologist who specializes in couples therapy and teaches leadership and personal development at Bainbridge Graduate School. I mean, that's a wide spectrum. She's doing it all. She's led retreats and workshops for couples since 1974, and she also leads creative writing retreats, which is a wonderful thing to know about those of you who write. In July 2014, she's going to start offering couples therapy intensive, which are 10 to 12 hours over 3 days, and that's all in addition to what she's already doing. And Paul, her husband, is a licensed mental health counselor who works with couples and individuals and has led retreats and workshops for couples since 2006. He balances his life with being a musician and jazz piano teacher, which is a wonderful balance to it all. And in March 29th and 30th, they're leading a non-residential couples retreat in Seattle, Washington, called Creative Commitment, How to Live on the Inside of Love. I love that topic. They've both done a ton of trainings, and if you want to know more information about them, you can find them at www.creativecommitment.com. And Mary has a website on her own, Mary Holscher, Mary, H-O-L-S-C-H-E-R.com. And Paul's website is paulfinleytherapy.com. That's Paul, F-I-N-L-E-Y, therapy.com. So with all that, I'm going to turn it over to them to talk about the subjects we're going to do today. Daily life is the powerful school for relationships. All right, it's all up to you guys.
Okay, thank you so much, Deirdre. We really appreciate you inviting us on, and we're really happy to be here. One thing we want to emphasize in this podcast is that even though, as you said, I've been a couples therapist for 40 years and have led couples workshops since 1974, most of what we know, and really everything we're going to be talking about today, comes from our own experience in our own marriage, everything we've learned for the past 30 years of being together.
Right. That's what's so exciting for us. It's more than just what we've learned in our training as couple therapists and what we've, in a way, learned in our relationship. I think the most important thing that we want to offer today is this feeling that we've really earned our way to what we call the inside of love. And we've done that through the things that we're going to talk about today. But a lot of it is just that sense of the commitment to the dailiness of love. And I just wanted to say something more about this idea of inside of love. It's this feeling that Mary and I have gotten to, which I think other couples can get to, which is this unshakable and sustaining and pervasive feeling of being in love and being loved. And, you know, that feeling can often begin in the spark of romantic love, but it has this feeling that we're talking about, what we're calling the inside of love, has a fundamentally different nature.
And here's the dilemma, as the way we see the dilemma. Most people we know, and certainly true for ourselves, deeply desire to be truly known, loved, and connected with a partner. We want the experience of someone having our back, someone who completely supports us in our flowering into our full, beautiful selves. And I know this isn't true for everyone, but it was totally true for us. It was true for me, even though I had never had a relationship that lasted more than a year. And I was already 32 years old when I met Paul. At that point, I had very little hope I could make a relationship work, but I had tons and tons of desire.
So basically, to pick up on this theme of this dilemma that people face, on the one hand, there's this intense, compelling desire. And, you know, we've been saying it's kind of like this spark, this love spark. And then it encounters in a brand new relationship, it inevitably encounters these four obstacles. The first one is that people are imperfect, which kind of goes without saying, and it's sort of, I think everybody knows what I mean. You know, we really do fail ourselves, and we really do fail each other. And this happens through until we die. I mean, essentially, there's just going to be a certain amount of failure because of our imperfections. The second thing is that people are radically different from each other. It may not seem that way when we're falling in love, but of course we start to find out the giant amounts of differences that we have. The sense of almost these cross-cultural, you know, the idea that all relationships are sort of cross-cultural experiences. And more than just the differences in how we make our Thanksgiving meals, et cetera, is this difference that's very deep and existential, which is that we each live inside our own separate experiential worlds. So that's the second challenge to this feeling. The third one is that, especially in the early years of a relationship, people are really not that skilled at intimacy. There's no one that, you know, teaches us intimacy. It's not like we take it in health class in high school. And so it just doesn't come naturally or easy to us. And in addition, intimacy involves a certain amount of causing ourselves to feel vulnerable. And it sort of has its own element, which is just that it's difficult to do. The fourth thing is that that despite what the first three obstacles tell us about the reality of our situation, almost everyone has the belief that it shouldn't be this hard. There's almost that feeling like if it was real love, it wouldn't be difficult. Love would just carry us. Love would take care of everything.
Right. We love the lines in Robert Bly's poem, Listening to the Cone Concert. The inner nest not made by instinct will never be quite round. So here we are, two imperfect, very different people with no nest, no skill in building a nest. Here we are at the beginning, just two people who've fallen in love. And then the reality of the obstacles set in. And most people feel overwhelmed and faced with two big questions. How can we build a deeply satisfying, deeply safe nest with what we actually have to work with? And the second question is it really worth all the effort it takes once we realize what it will take?
And what perhaps makes this trickier is that the thing we're looking for is something that we can't force. It's just like so many other things that are worth it and super important in life. The most important example that I have of that is sleep. You can't make yourself go to sleep. But that includes other things like sexual desire. You can't make yourself have sexual desire. You can't make it. You can't force it. But for all of these things that are valuable to us, you can create the conditions that invite it. So let's take sleep, for example. I've had to, over the years, really work at the business of creating the right conditions for me to get a good night's sleep, and I'm obviously not the only one. A lot of people have to work on that. It doesn't involve me making myself go to sleep, but it does involve me pretty, being very careful about caffeine and alcohol intake, etc., all the stuff you usually hear people say. And it even includes the way Mary and I interact at night so that I go to sleep feeling close to Mary. Those are all the things that help me invite into my life this super valuable thing called sleep. And essentially this is what we're using as an example of the kind of the building blocks of the nest that we start to produce that allow in this kind of love we're talking about.
And the way we've come to think about this love that's so pervasive and sustaining, is that it's kind of waiting for us, waiting to enter until it knows we mean business. It's like it's waiting for us to commit to putting in the effort and taking the action. We need to invite it.
And, you know, one way to think about what it's waiting to see from us, the way we see it, is it's waiting to see whether we can create these two components, these two daily actions. One is companionship, and the other is intimacy. I want to start with intimacy because it's the one that I think it's hardest to kind of get a feel for.
Hey, intimacy, Paul, before you do that, though, could I just say something about companionship? Because I think we all know what companionship means, and I do think your focus should be on intimacy. But I want to say before you go there that the thing about companionship, we all know what it means. It's very simple. It's hanging out together, spending time together, doing pleasurable activities. We all know it, but so many couples simply don't do it. So that's part of the twigs and sticks in the nest is doing, just being companions for each other, hanging out together. So back to you, Paul, about intimacy.
And I just want to, that's just so important because it's something that Mary and I really see a lot in the couples we work with, and it's also something that we've had to struggle with ourselves, making sure that we have that in our relationship. So, the business of intimacy. The language we use to describe it is this idea of dropping down. And what we mean is we're dropping down into our deeply felt experience, and we're doing it in the presence of the other person. And it just means giving each of us giving ourselves the time to be present with what's true in this moment. Just dropping down. Usually that means dropping from pure thinking and dropping into our heart and our guts and our bodies, right? Just that feeling of what is happening right now. So I just thought it'd be nice to just take a minute for all of the listeners, just to take a minute and notice what's happening right now. This is an experience of just what it is to drop down. You might start by just putting your hand on your heart. And just notice what's there. Notice the warmth of your hand. Just ask yourself, what's showing up? What's showing up in my experience right now? What's always amazing to me is how much that is, you don't have to reach very far. It's always, there's so much going on inside. And the task of sharing this is really the task of intimacy. Is to say somehow to get on a daily basis to get this across to our partners. And that forms up this kind of idea that Mary and I have of habits. And we have a very specific sense of what we mean by that word habit. Because it could sound sort of like, well, that's sort of boring. All we mean by habit is it's an effort that becomes effortless. So it's something that starts out as conscious purpose, and then it just becomes something that is very, what we call a natural doing. And so we're really saying that intimacy can become one of these habits. And so we can't, while we can't really, you know, force ourselves into the inside of love, we can create, you know, these steps towards creating these habits of sharing our deeper experiences. So we can just invite love that way.
One of the quotations we love from Ursula Le Guin that really gets at this idea of the, you know, committing to these habits is, love doesn't just sit there like a stone. It has to be made like bread. We made all the time, made new. And one of the things that to me is one of the most challenging aspects to this whole dropping down into ourselves is it's right there. It's relatively easy to access once we take the time to do it. Is how come it's so difficult to share? And I think it's that. It's hard to develop the self-compassion we need to accept what's there, to really feel like what's there is enough, and to have the courage we need to share it with another person. It's so vulnerable to share what's inside with no absolute guarantee that it'll be received. Here's where practices of self-compassion and self-inquiry, you know, such as meditation or the kind of work you do, Deirdre, is so helpful in that it can help us both access what's happening as we drop down, but also give us the courage to share it, the capacity to tolerate intimacy. For me, this was so hard. I had no capacity at the beginning to simply tolerate intimacy with Paul. It just wasn't something I knew how to do. It. I had to really learn how to do it over time.
I think that's such a critical piece because it really speaks to the feeling of when we face that moment when we are at thinking, can I share this with the other person? And even if it's a simple feeling, like I'm just feeling anxious or I'm feeling really confused, it's necessary to have enough self-compassion that says it's okay for me to feel confused. It's okay for me to feel anxious. And there's this, you know, usually most of us have been hurt for having a feeling. We've been criticized for having a feeling. And so I think that's a critical part of how we can make it possible to be intimate is just noticing, is really saying to ourselves, we have a right to whatever we have going on inside in that place of experience. So I wanted to, you know, even though that the habits of intimacy are challenging in this way, we don't want to forget the sort of the habits of companionship because those are, as we said earlier, they're really, really critical. Because if you don't spend enough of that kind of time just hiking together or walking together or just eating together, it makes it that much harder to do the habits of intimacy. But I just wanted to say a little bit more about these different parts of how we create these deeper kind of dropping down experiences in our relationship. And one domain is just the habits of daily connection that have to do with maybe coming home and making an explicit point of saying to each other, how are you really feeling? And we're calling that just a habit of connection. The other is what happens when we're in conflict? And can we create habits of dropping down during conflict? And this is a particularly important point because almost by definition, when we're in conflict, there's not enough of this dropping down experience. So in a sense, when I can come off of, if I'm arguing with Mary, if I can come off of my position, which is that it's clearly right that we should refinance or not refinance or whatever it is that I'm arguing while I'm getting anxious, for example, can I begin to drop down from my position, which is, I think we should do X or Y, or I think you're wrong or you're right or whatever, can I drop down to, I'm feeling anxious about this. I'm just so worried about whatever it is, right? I'm worried about money, or I'm worried about our child or whatever. Can I start to put voice to that truer, more deep experience of mine? And as soon as either one of us can do that, the other person is often invited to start to soften too. They're often invited into their own experience. So it's a critical part, this habit of conflict that has to do with dropping down. And then finally, we've got this idea of habit of repair. After a conflict, you know, people are often, you know, just sort of often a conflict ends with a sense of, I can't stand this, and then somebody leaves or whatever, and that leaves people feeling incredibly vulnerable. And the question is, can the couple repair that? Can the couple start to create a softening and a warmth in place of that tearing feeling that they had during the conflict? And again, it's a similar principle. Usually it's about dropping down. And once we come away from the heat of the moment in a conflict, perhaps an hour later, even if it's a day later, that feeling of, oh, you know what I was really going through? Oh, you know what I was really thinking? Oh, I realized I was just really afraid. And the particular part that accompanies good repair is, can I say this to my partner? I see that you were really afraid. That often is really the completion of the process of repair, that each partner can start to recognize the dilemma and the difficulty and the distress of the other person.
And thank you, Paul. I love hearing you talk about those habits of repair, because I know we've had to go through that quite a bit over the years ourselves. Here is the most amazing, miraculous thing, and here is why we do the work we do. Because what makes all this effort, all this vulnerability, all this courage, which usually takes many, many years, all this effort, what makes it worth it is that when these habits become strong enough, that the nest is sturdy enough, love enters the nest. There's a huge shift. There really is a before and an after. Before, we're doing so much work to get there, to make it work. And after, there's a shift in which love itself holds the couple. It holds and supports and nourishes us. It's where it's like being held in this energetic, joyful field that makes the work of so much more of a kind of an effortless, creative play. We get a chance to then live inside love so that it pervades us. It not only when we're together, not only when we're in our little nest that we so lovingly created, but that when we are by ourselves, when we go away from each other, it's as if it's the relationship just constantly benefits from this endless wellspring of fresh creative resources that comes from a source beyond ourselves, but comes through ourselves. And then love becomes fully creative, fully new. And at that point, there's truly this experience that we're trying to invite everyone to have, is this experience of living on the inside of love, where we're held and nourished every single day by this field of love. We absolutely know this to be true. We know this experience is the sweetest honey in the world.
It's so exciting, actually, for us, and it's so exciting to be in this in this, in a way, doing a kind of work on the one hand, but bringing to that work this deep sense of what we're talking about. It's a sort of a deep expertise from our own inner experience, and we're just so excited to be able to share this. And we just hope that, you know, anyone listening, that you really go for it, because in a way, if we can do it, we feel like you can too.
And we want to close with a little poem we love from Hafiz. Even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Look what happens with a love like that. It lights the whole sky.
So beautiful, you guys. You are very inspiring, and I love how you break it down into these small steps so people can grab hold of it. And look at, you know, the habits that are right there. And I think especially I'm thinking of many of my clients who find it difficult getting into relationships or are worried about it, and to have you speak of the obstacles and just lay them out. This is what people, they think they're deficient because it's difficult. You're sort of normalizing it all.
Yeah. Exactly. I so thought that about myself. Something must be wrong with me. Instead of thinking, this is the human condition. This is what we're up against. And
it's about learning and being shown how to do that.
Right. And then to know that there's this other side that isn't all that effort, that isn't all that work, that there's a payoff. That's the part that is like, you know, I'm constantly amazed that, oh my God, you get to live inside of this experience of love.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You know, your point.
Well, thank you,
bud.
I really appreciate it. Sorry, Paul, you were going to say something?
No, I just agree with your point. And you know, when clients, you know, that's the biggest single obstacle, I think, is that sense that it shouldn't be this hard, and therefore there must be something wrong with me that we have to cure, and we have to make it go away.
And we've
really returned to the idea that what we need more than anything is just that self-compassion.
Yeah. I love how you guys wove that in there, because I completely agree with that. Perfect. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for taking your time.
Thank you.
And sharing this
thank
with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so glad you're willing to share it with everybody. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All righty.
We'll talk again soon.